Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Last week we began the Trinity season with the foundational teaching of who our God is, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons and yet one God. This week we continue the season of Trinity teaching and learning the teachings, the doctrine of Scripture. Especially today, this doctrine of faith and works, of heaven and of hell. What's the difference? In the gospel lesson today, what's the difference between Lazarus and the rich man that mattered in the end? Was it the wealth, the riches, or lack of it? What's the difference between you and the people around you that will really matter in the end? Because the end approaches. Christ's return is happening sooner rather than later, and we can say that each and every day. But on top of that, of course, there's the way we know more familiar, that is, our own death approaches closer each and every day. What will make the difference for you? The Old Testament lesson from Holy Scripture today points out our father Abraham. He is the one to whom Lazarus is taken by the holy angels after he dies. Paradise is where Abraham is. Well, where is Abraham then? But in heaven. Why is Abraham there? What made Abraham different? What made Abraham righteous? The lesson is plain. It says plainly in Genesis 15, Abraham believed in the Lord, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Belief, faith, trust. That's what made all the difference. Even in his old age, looking on the impossibility, according to the world and natural reason, about having a son in such an old age, Abraham believed God's promise. He believed God's word. Lazarus had faith. He took God at his word. He trusted what God said. Even with how cruddy his life was, he trusted in all that God said, and God took him then through death by the angels into eternal life. Now, none of this is to say that works don't matter. They do. But works don't matter in relation to earning salvation. That is by faith alone. No, as the great Christian hymn declares, for faith alone can justify, works serve our neighbor and supply the proof that faith is living. This is why we have the epistle lesson from John, 1 John today. Love, true love. It's not the type of love that the world says God has. No, love for God is from God in Christ and then out toward the neighbor. It is for us tied to the commandments. That the world would have you think that love has to do with your emotions or essentially letting people do whatever their hearts desire. But no, the love of God, the love that God commands for us to have for each other, has been told to us and is wonderfully summarized in the commandments. That the Word of God shows the love that God has for us in sending Christ Jesus to atone for us by His own blood, to redeem us with that same divine and yet human blood. And the Word then shows the love that God would have us show one another. Good works flowing from a faith in Christ and a trust in His work for our righteousness. Those works of love are proof that faith is living. Abraham, if you know his story, Abraham was able to give up the choice land. He was able to endure hardship after hardship. He was able to even offer up his only son, Isaac. He was able to live his whole life and never actually possessing the land that had been promised to him. All because he believed. He served his neighbors. He got along with them as much as it was possible with him. He was honest and conducted himself accordingly and was respected by many of those around him. Those works gave proof that faith in Christ was living, that Abraham did indeed long to see Christ's day, as Jesus taught. Just as good works can show how faith is living, a life that is filled with sinful and selfish works can show how faith is dead. The rich man, in today's gospel lesson, he enjoyed his wealth while others suffered. He did not care that someone like Lazarus, who lived so close to him, was in such dire need. He didn't even have compassion, the kind of compassion that the simple animals showed him. His outward, openly sinful life was proof that faith was not living. It was proof that he did not love God, because it showed in his lack of love for others. And so he died, and he went to hell. That without faith, without trust in Christ, there is no righteousness, there is no redemption, there is only guilt and condemnation. This is all those who are outside of the church, all those who give no heed to their Savior's call, all those who willfully stay away from the gracious visitation of our Lord, our God, in word and sacrament. This is all those who take their lessons not from the holy word of our God, but instead from the talking heads of the culture, the leaders of the politics of the day, and the ever-changing definitions of love and what the world will praise most highly. Those who feast sumptuously each day without any concern for those who are dying just right over there. Those who use their wealth for themselves and no other. As you hear this, you, no doubt, as Americans, the most wealthy people in the history of the world, you, no doubt, have these very specific temptations towards selfishness and all the lavish wealth that has been given to you for lavish living as well. So take your sins in light of this, that here Christ Jesus warns. He warns you against the soul-destroying sinful works that will rip faith in Christ from you and put you into hell. But as a baptized child of God, you are given to live differently. You are to live by having faith or trust in God, that Jesus is indeed your salvation, your righteousness, your Redeemer, the atonement for all that is required for you to enter heaven. You are to live your life by faith in God, and then also then by love toward your neighbor, which, as John tells us, which in the end is really love for God. That your faith in Christ is to permeate, to filter through all that you do, all the judgments you make, all the thoughts you entertain, the opinions you express, all the ways in which you use the stuff as God has given you to use in your life. That your faith in Christ is to inform and shape all of it. But again, statements like that will again show you your sins. That you don't do that. So what are you given to do? Repent. That you can realize the ways and the works of the devil, the ways and the works of men like the rich man, and the ways and the works of your sinful flesh as the sins that they really are, and flee from them. For you are not like them. You are a child of God. You have been given that which makes all the difference in the end. You have been given faith in Christ. the rich man in hell, after being denied, given just a drop of water to cool his tongue, he finally finds some level of compassion for others, for his brothers. Even then, Abraham tells him it is too late. Those brothers, still living on earth, have something to teach them, have something which will give them faith, the one thing that will make the difference and not land them in hell. That no one, even being raised from the dead, will change that fact. And I believe here, this is a good reason why Christ Jesus only showed himself to his disciples after the resurrection. That as Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, that is the word of God. Let them hear them. The word. The word declares what you are hearing today, that the righteous will live by faith, by trust in the Lord. And that's such trust in the Lord, by that you will be made righteous. Being made righteous means this. It means that, yes, God looks at you differently for the sake of Jesus Christ, that you are not your own. For the blood of Christ has been sprinkled all over you, and you are now clean. That when you stand before God in heaven, it will not be by what you have done, but by what Christ Jesus has done for you. That he fulfilled all the commandments, perfectly loving God and his neighbor. And this being made righteous, then, is not just, of course, about how God sees you or how you will be in heaven. No, it has application for your life even right now. For by believing in Christ, you have been shown to possess the Holy Spirit, the Spirit who makes holy. Yes, by the forgiveness of sins. Yes, by the resurrection of your body on the last day. And yes, by life everlasting. But the Spirit of our God who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who also moves you to be more righteous in your conduct towards each other and other people around you, even today. That the good works that you are given to do are not yours to boast of, but they are the Spirit's who works through you and teaches you to work with him for the good of the neighbor and ultimately for the glory of your God. That this is indeed a glorious thing. That the word of our God is enough to create faith in Christ. And the word of our God then is used by the Spirit of our God to lead people on in lives of love for each other. That the scriptures are the work of the very Holy Spirit we're speaking of, and that same Spirit uses that word to strengthen your faith. That you indeed would be righteous before God, but also to increase your love, that you might be righteous before men. That no other miracle will work what God has already done for you by the Word. That by the Word He has baptized you, by the Word He absolves you, by the Word He communes you. And that same Word teaches you both of the love of God that He has for you, but also of how to love those around you. Some people today, they lament the lack of love that we see in the world all around us. In fact, yes, the love of many has grown cold, as true faith in Christ has disappeared from large portions of our nation. That these people who are concerned about these things may even push for somehow kind of legislating the love and the thinking that somehow we can at least get the unbelievers to try to act like believers. But that's wrong-headed. That if you want to change the culture that is around you, first and foremost, take care of your own household in matters of the faith. Nourish the faith of those at home by the scriptures and prayer and weekly attendance of divine service. And then second, lead a faithful life, the kind of faithful life that God gives you to live out before those around you, your neighbors. Do good unto them at all times. Don't seek your advantage in things, but give, knowing that the God that you have, the God you have through Christ Jesus, and you know and believe through Christ Jesus, that God can and will provide for you all that you need. And share His word with them. Invite them to church. That nothing will change our culture more than the Holy Spirit working through the Word to make and to keep Christians out of the multitude of pagans in our land. That one needful thing, faith in Christ, comes by the hearing of the Word. The Word which is enough to bring repentance and bless all of them with faith in Christ. That one needful thing, faith in Christ, is yours by God's word today. That God indeed is love. That in Christ, God's love is for you. That because God has so loved you in Christ, you are free to truly love the others all around you. That by the work of Christ for you and the gift of faith in Christ, which is in you, heaven is your home. That God's holy angels are at the ready to come and take you to paradise in God's perfect timing because of what Christ Jesus has done for you. And that the good works that God has prepared beforehand for you to do, they are right there in front of you. They are right there around you. And those good works not only show the proof that faith is living, but they glorify your God. And your neighbor could use them and your help as well. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.